Hi there, Africa, and welcome aboard Africa Gender Indaba on Channel Africa, the African perspective. I'm Derek Mansarura, and I made it into the year 2022. And if you happen to be listening to this, you too surely have something to celebrate. Let's celebrate the new year 2022 together on Channel Africa, wishing you prosperity, more love, laughter, and good health. My holidays were fantastic, quite eventful with family, managed to connect with family members I'd not seen physically in a while. We had fun, we shared moments, reflected on the past and made jokes. I would like to know about your holidays. What were your experiences like and what made it all different this time? You can also follow us on Twitter, Channel Africa One. Our Facebook is Channel Africa. Website is www.channelafrica.co.za. You can also text me anytime or call me, Derek Mazaro, on +27 6825 7710. I'm more interested also in hearing how you want to improve your community on the lives of others, especially women, men, girls, boys, and children. Gender justice and human rights are the main themes of this show. We open this year with an episode that covers what different people from across Africa expect in the year 2022 in gender equality, human rights, sexual reproductive health and rights, and women aid. We want to see changes this year. Where do you expect changes to take place the most, and how do you plan to be part of that change? Share with me, reach out to me on social media. Joining us to discuss on the show what Africa expects in the year 2022 in gender equality, human rights, sexual reproductive health and rights and women aid is firstly Ophel Enoch from Ophel Consult and Enterprise, and secondly we have Esther Rachel Musasizi from Medical Teams International. Also part of the talk this hour is Alois Nyamazana from Fathers Against Abuse in Zimbabwe and Blessing Tuna from Channels Television. And thank you all for joining us. Let's get things started in a few. Please don't touch that dial.
Welcome to Change Your Game here on Channel Africa, the African perspective. We're coming to you from Johannesburg in South Africa. My name is Asanda Peta.
What GDF Forum is about and what an opportunity it provides specifically for the audience of Change Your Game.
At Change Your Game, we believe entrepreneurs are the key drivers of tomorrow's African innovations and essential to creating a thriving African economy.
More support, just like invest more in young creatives and entrepreneurship, but actually do it. Don't just talk about it, actually do it, you know, because there are a lot of creative minds, there are a lot of intelligent human beings in our country, so I think they should invest more in that and take it seriously, because it's a real thing.
Catch us every Friday at 900 hours Central African time with Channel Africa, the African perspective.
Welcome back, and we're going to start with a story about a young girl who is a victim of sexual violence. Please kindly note that the narration of this particular story takes place in a community setup whereby the girl is being asked by community leaders what actually took place.
You're going to talk clearly for the whole world to hear your own version of the story. And I want you to know that God in heaven is watching and listening. Promise me you will never lie in the course of this, our conversation.
I promise never to lie.
You promise?
Yes, sir.
So tell me the story. Take your time.
Okay. In December 2018, during this period, my father called me into his room in Jalingo, my grandmother's house, that I should come and pick a hairstyle I would like to make for Christmas. I went there not thinking of anything because he's my father. I entered the room, he shut the door behind me. My mind didn't go anywhere because I wouldn't think of such a thing. I sat on the bed, we sat, we finished checking his phone for the pictures, and I've picked the hairstyle that I would like to make. But we finished, not for him to start touching me in an unfatherly manner.
Where and where?
My breast, my bum, just touching me. trying to naked me, trying to remove my clothes. And I rejected him. I said, what is this? He told me that I should keep quiet, I should be still, I should be calm. If I reject him or I resist him, he is going to harm me. I should better remain calm and allow him what he wants, allow him to do what he wants to do with me, and I will leave and nobody will know about this. In the course of it, he told me that if anybody should hear about this thing that just happened now, he's going to kill me. He will kill me and nobody will have anything to ask him how it happened or what happened. He finished and I left. I left crying. It didn't mean anything to him. Christmas period. It went on. It was not like that day only. After that day, it became a continuous process. It is like an everyday thing, except I am on my period because I am in a boarding school. I go to school, I can't concentrate. I'm always thinking. I come back home, it's a continuous process. He doesn't allow me to rest except I'm on my period. Sometimes I even have to lie. And if I lie and he finds out that I'm not on my period, it's another case. This has been going on 2018, 2019. He was planning his wedding last year. I was happy. I thought everything would just end there because I wanted to forget about everything and move on in my life as a 16-year-old girl. He was planning for his wedding. How he normally does is that he starts scolding me because he's very harsh. He's harsh physically. He beats me, leaving with scars on my body. I opened a Facebook account to reach my mom because I call my mom, everybody is there. There's nothing I can tell her. I opened a Facebook account to reach her. When he found out about that Facebook account, he beat me mercilessly with a barbed wire. Scars all over my body, my hands, everywhere. I was bleeding on my body. I couldn't reach her.
What of the relations in the compound? Didn't they talk to him?
Everybody knows he's harsh. And they don't care. My grandmother doesn't care.
That's his mother.
Yes. When he's beating me, she would tell him that he should take me and go and beat me outside. I should not die in her compound. She doesn't stop him. It's not her business. I was diagnosed with an ovarian cyst. I started having pains on my side, my right side. I complained to them. They said it was all pretense. And they said, okay, they'll take me to the hospital. At the hospital, the doctor was asking me that, have I ever had sex? I couldn't say yes. I told him, no, I've never. Well, he said, okay, we should go and do a scan. When we're going to do the scan, my father said that if they scan me and they don't find anything in me, he's going to kill me for making him waste his money to bring me to the hospital. We did the scan. On the paper, they wrote, very urgent, I needed surgery for it to be removed. My father said he doesn't care. He will not waste one kobo of his for them to go and do a surgery on me. It's not his business. If he ruptures in me, it's my problem. If I die, he doesn't have anything to lose. He's a man, he can have other children. It's me and my mother that I have to lose. Okay. How he does is that he starts scolding me in the compound, scolding me, I am stubborn, I am this, I am that. He now, like, he wants to call me to continue scolding me in his room and, like, give me advice. When he goes, he does what he wants to do. When he's done, he'll ask me to stay there. I will not leave his room until he asks me to leave. I'm there, he'll pick a phone and call the wife-to-be and will be planning for their wedding. When he's done, he'll say, the wife he's getting married to is the senior wife. Well, me, I'm the junior wife. He compares my body to my mother's body. He says, I have breasts like my mother. My husband will enjoy me. Would I allow him enjoy me before my husband enjoys me? I told him that I'm not your girlfriend and I'm also not your wife. This kind of thing should not be happening. He said, I should not worry. He's only on the surface. He's not going inside. I am still intact. I said, but there are many girls out there. Why do you want me? He said, no, because I am still fresh and supple. That's why he wants me. He got married last year, June. But it didn't end.
He continued.
Where
was the wife?
They moved out of my grandmother's house to their own house. So he comes to the house, my grandmother's house, and does what he and sleeps with me.
Who have you reported this matter to, and what were their responses?
This year in August, because my grandmother is aware. She's aware from when it started. She was aware of it.
You told her?
I didn't tell her, but she was aware. She was aware, but I didn't tell her. But I knew she was aware, and she knows she's aware. Yes.
Then who again?
This year in August, I got frustrated because 2018, 2019, 2020, I was frustrated. I don't concentrate in school. I'm always thinking, I'm always lost because of what this man has done to me. I was depressed. I said, if you, this man, is telling me to keep such a thing inside of me, I know that I would die one day. This thing will kill me. So it's better I end my life myself, because if you kill me, it's going to pain me. I took sniper this year, August, because this year, when school closed for COVID-19, I respect his wife so much. So he called me that his wife would like to see me in their house for me to help her do some things in the kitchen. I went there for me not to find his wife. They had issues. He got separated. His wife had left. I never knew. But he lied to me that his wife wants to see me. So I went there in the morning. Throughout the whole day, this man slept with me throughout the whole day. I could not walk. I could not sit. It was so painful. It was so painful.
Throughout the day.
Throughout the day. He starts, he went eat, he come. So throughout the day.
He will start, stop, go and eat, come back.
Yes. So throughout the day, when he's done, he doesn't spill in me. He puts it on my tummy, wipes it with the tissue, and takes it away. I don't know what he does with it. He takes it away. So I was frustrated. And this COVID-19 lockdown is very long. It's very long. Other times I used to go to school and come back. But this one was very long. How many months was I at home? How many months was I at home? I was frustrated. I said, I know I would die, so let me kill myself. Let me leave this world, because there's nothing. I have no peace. Let me just die and leave this world. I drank sniper to end my life. When I took it, he told me that I want to commit suicide for who? Since I want to die, he will help me end my life even before I die. So he was struggling me. I didn't struggle, because I was ready to die at that time. He saw that I was not struggling. He now left me. When he left me, he told me that I should leave this compound and go and die outside. I will not die in his mother's compound. I was at the gate. I was very weak. I was on the floor. My grandmother was watching me. All of them were watching me to die with it, so that nobody will ever know about it.
Who will protect the young ones? Who will protect the children if the fathers and the elders are the ones doing sexual violence? Do we have a conversation at all in Africa? Where do we start? Ping me, text me, and let's discuss. We are not giving up. To jump into our conversation, Blessing, in your field of work and beyond, what are your newest resolutions to make lives of women, girls, and boys better in Africa?
Thank you very much for having me on your show, and thank you for this very important question that you have asked, question that borders on the rights of women, girls and boys. And so for me, the answer is simple, because this is a thing that I have been doing. And to be honest, it's something I began this year. I know before now we've been talking a lot, we've been paying a lot of lip service about the rights of women, about gender equality and all of those things. But then I didn't realize that that wasn't enough until the year 2021, when I started taking deliberate steps towards promoting women, towards campaigning for the cause in of women. And I saw the impact that my little efforts has made. And I really wish that I had begun this deliberate campaigns and this deliberate things, activities that I did in the year 2021. I know that I will have the results that I would have recorded will have been way more than what I am now counting as achievements at this time. But then the beauty of this whole thing is it's never too late to begin. It doesn't matter at what time you become enlightened and intentional about the steps, the deliberate steps that you need to take to ensure that you make an impact. And so that is what I'm going to be focusing. So I'm entering 2022 by God's special grace with as a more informed person, as a more informed journalist. I'm entering from a point of understanding, because I understand gender issues better than I used to do. And this is thanks to the Wole Soyinka Center for Investigative Journalists Report Women Fellowship. I have learned a lot in 2021 about the gender-based violence and issues that border on gender inequalities. So I'm going to be intentional in the year 2021 in my reportage. I'm going to ensure that women are given a voice. I'm going to ensure that my reportage is balanced, that my reportage has all the gender coloration that it requires. Of course, it doesn't mean because I am an advocate for the rights of women that I'm going to be silencing the men. No, but I'm going to ensure equal representation, and I'm going to ensure that vulnerable groups are represented. I'm going to ensure that women and girls and boys are given a voice in the course of my work. And it doesn't only stop in my workspace alone. Of course, just like your question, you said as a professional and even beyond. So I'm taking this activism beyond my workspace. In conversations, there are narratives, there are stereotypes that people have about women. And in the past, when you just hear some of those narratives, they are so nauseating, you just walk away. And because we believe that there is nothing you can do to change the mindsets of these people, the people passing around some of those narratives. But I believe that it's about time we start standing up to them. We start giving counter narratives that will begin to enlighten. Of course, there are those who hold such opinions because of ignorance, because they do not have access to the truth. And I'm going to be the truth in those kind of situations, in informal settings, in whatever kind of conversations, anywhere I find myself that we have narratives that do not say the truth about women and their potentials and what they are capable of doing. I'm going to be standing up to those kind of narratives, and I'm going to be a peer educator. I'm going to be enlightening people, and I'm going to be having such conversations, wherever I find myself. And I won't stop there. And even in the course of my work, I'm going to project myself better. I'm going to project myself louder. If I was quiet before, I'm going to be loud this year. Not loud by making noise and talking about the things I'm able to do, but I'm going to be loud. My actions are going to be speaking louder than my voice, and people are going to use me as an example and say, oh, this one is a woman, and then she's able to do this. And that means if we give women the opportunity, they are able to live up to expectations. They are going to perform, they are able to perform optimally, even more than their male counterparts, if not equally. But then I am not going to drop the ball. I'm not going to drop the bar. And I think all of these are things that would help the cause will help the advocacy, will help the campaign for gender equality. Because gone are the days when people just sit down and they make noise about why women need to be given the opportunity. Women will need to be brought to the table in the interest of equal opportunities. But I don't think that is enough. You prove that we are able, you prove that you deserve that opportunity that you're asking for by the actions. But some of us who have the opportunity, for instance, who have the voice, who are able to enter, you know, who are able to enter rooms that other vulnerable women do not have access to, how are we portraying ourselves there? How are we projecting ourselves? So I believe that people like us hold the aces of gender equality.
Thank you, Blessing Offel. How do you seek to channel your resolutions towards helping women, men, girls, and boys in Africa this year?
Well, I actually have been running an organization for almost 6 years now, thereabouts, Offel Consult and Enterprise. And part of the things we have been able to do with that organization was actually to reach out to people in the society, not just to train people in values reorientation, and also get people to increase their productivity level. That's both people and organizations. We have rolled out a program we called Sleeve P, Student Leadership, Entrepreneurship, and Values Empowerment Program. We want to get into school, teach people, teach students, young people, leadership skill, and also do a bit of hands-on entrepreneurship development skill for them also, while we're also doing values orientation program for school children. And then we rolled out a program which will kick off this January, Project Smile. We want to see how we can empower women, empower youths, young boys and young girls, give them some little gifts that could help them. You know, the year is just beginning, and then we need to raise people's hope and aspiration. That's the plan. We Project Smile. We actually want to make people smile. That's the idea behind even the name. We want to make people smile as they start the year. And then we're giving out free business consultation and support for female and young startups. And then once you reach out to us, maybe through the website of Offel Consult and Enterprise and all of that, we would find a way to just make sure we help people. And then we'll get into active activism to raise our voice for women empowerment, for young people to be in to be able to occupy political positions, as here and there we know that there's going to be some level of political activities in most of the African countries. Nigeria, for an example, has elections coming up in 2023. So 2022 is a good year to begin to start the activism to make sure that young people are given a space and a voice in the political space.
Thank you for that, Alois. In terms of gender equality, what changes do you expect to see in 2022, and how do you think that can be achieved?
We firstly expect to see girls remaining in school. That's our number one expectation. We want to see more girls in school and also return being in school. Like, it's new year, and what we've noted over the years, some girls, they then succumb to child marriages. They don't then go to secondary, because we have seen in some communities, especially border towns, when people come through from like South Africa and other neighboring countries, they then, you know, target those young girls who will be waiting to go to Form 1, and they get married to those children. So this year, we are basically expecting to see our girls going to school. We believe that if girls are given an opportunity to go to school, that goes a very long way in terms of addressing gender equality, because when girls are kept in school, then that then reduces their chances of getting married earlier, and then that also increases their opportunities for advancing with their careers. Then in terms of gender equality, also expect to see many men and boys taking part in household unpaid care work. We believe that is when men take part in unpaid care work and child care, that will then also create opportunities for women to then pursue their careers, pursue their visions, then that would then lead to the attainment of gender equality. And in Zimbabwe, we are going to elections in 2023, and it's most likely that 2022 is going to be a very busy year from a political point of view. And we are going to be engaging with politicians so that the political playing field is free from gender-based violence, is free from violence, so that women can also participate peacefully and easily without being scared away by the violence. And we are going to be monitoring even social media utterances from politicians. We have seen body shaming, name calling, and other sorts of violence for women on social media. And we are going to be monitoring that so that we try to hold to account other men, especially when they say out things that are negative to women. Yeah, so that's what we're going to basically doing. And of course, we are going to be doing advocacy around ensuring that the Electoral Act is implemented, is reformed, so that it allows for women to also take part in elections and public decision making.
Thank you, Alois. We're taking a short break. Please stay tuned. We're back in a moment.
This is Live Well, where we take a closer look at how to achieve healthy, holistic African living. Join me, Palesa Tau, on this journey as we discuss various illnesses and diseases, find new ways to keep ourselves fit, as well as hear some inspirational health stories from around the continent. All this on Live Well, Mondays 10 a.m. CAT, right here on Channel Africa, giving you the African perspective.
Welcome back to Africa Gender Indaba with Derek Mazaren. We're discussing what Africa expects in the year 2022 in gender equality, human rights, sexual reproductive health and rights, and women aid with firstly Ofel Enoch from Ofel Consult and Enterprise. And secondly, we have Esther Rachel Musasizi from Medical Teams International. Also joining us on the show this hour is Alois Jamazana from Fathers Against Abuse. And then we engage Blessing Tuno from Channels Television. Before we can proceed with our conversation, I would like to share with you what a friend shared with me on WhatsApp, something to help us through the new year and also to share with others. It's entitled Five Things Men Can Do to End Gender-Based Violence. Number one, educate other men and boys about the negative effects of gender-based violence. Two, if you're a father, teach your sons how to treat everyone with respect and dignity. 3. Speak out against abuse in your family, church, community, workplace, etc. Number 4. Be actively involved in childcare, work and household duties in your family. 5. Seek help when you're being abused or facing challenges in your relationships. I think we really need to start working on number 2. If you're a father, teach your sons to treat everyone with respect and dignity. In the modern day, it might not seem like an important topic to talk about teaching respect and dignity, but these are our core values that can shape our societies back and better. To carry on with our conversation on what Africa expects in 2022, we venture deep into it by focusing just a bit on mental and public health with Esther. Esther, the issue of mental and public health is often downplayed, one might say. How do you seek to make the lives of fellow Africans, great and small, better through your resolutions in this year in mental and public health?
I think we need to improve on advocacy. Advocacy, a lot of health education, a lot of sensitization. Say, for example, right now, the stigma that people have gone through because of mental health, and the stigma people went through because of COVID, we need to give more sensitization and health education. And now that we even have a new strain, we need to strengthen the SOPs. People shouldn't give up and say, ah, that was COVID of long time ago. Since this one is not so deadly, let us relax. We need to continue encouraging people to wash hands, to social distance, to do masks, to avoid gatherings as much as possible. And if they are to cough, they should cough in the elbow, not in open space. I think that to me would actually work. That would be one of the things I would look at this year.
Thank you, Esther. What about in terms of expectations? What do you want to see? And any methods to go about improving mental health services?
Of course, the changes could be both positive and negative. The fact that we've suffered a lot, especially in the public health, there could be a few changes. Maybe the economy is reduced. People have lost jobs. People have really had a really change in life. But the beauty about the economy now is that people have learned survival mechanisms. Someone who used to use a border or taxi has learned how to walk and can save the little they were using, like on taxi or border, for something else. People have learned how to eat healthy. People are now doing a lot of fruits, a lot of vegetables, than the cholesterols they used to do last time, because it's healthy. They believe the herbs are healthy for them. And maybe in terms of mental health, people have been stigmatized, but the good news is that vaccination is all over the place, and people are being talked to, so they have changed their mindset, and they are now able to run to counselors, they're now able to run to people for help. And how we hope to achieve some of these things is there's integration of these services at our facilities. So if someone goes to, say, for example, for malaria, and they have an issue or something, they can be able to talk to a counselor or be counseled about a particular issue. There and then, they'll be able to get better. Even the services are all around. Someone will go and get integrated services, will go with a toothache, but will end up having their malaria treated, their headache treated, and all those other ones.
Blessing, for progress in the new year and wrapping up, why is Women Aid important in 2022 and beyond, and what kind of aid can it be?
Well, so it's very important that women are given aids. Women of all classes or women of all strata in the society require help. Now, it's a whole lot easier for women who have a job or who have a business they are doing, but then women need aid. Not in form of subsistence, nor in form of food items or clothes they can eat or wear and then thinking of where to get to on the next day. But women should be empowered. Women should have their capacity built. Women should be able to make their own money. Women should be able to contribute meaningfully to the family. And by doing that, you are also contributing to the society. So these are the ways that aid is very important in the life of women. Very few women do not have business ideas. Most women know what they can do with money to spin it around, no matter how little or no matter how much. Women are resourceful people. And so as many women that are interested in learning trades or are interested in starting a particular trade because they already have the skills and all of those things, I think such kind of women should be identified and given aid in this year. Of course, there are women who do not care. It's not like they have any work that they do, but then they do not care about receiving any form of aid, and that's fine as long as it works for them. But of course, women will have to be encouraged. Women will have to be enlightened, to be sensitized about why it is important that you learn a skill and you get an aid.
Thank you, Blessing. Also, the importance of helping women in the new year and the kind of help that could be given to women. What's your take?
Okay. As nations around the world are in a recovering state, recovering process, if I will use that word, from the effect melted world over by the COVID-19 saga, you know, both to economies and to citizens, likewise, everybody is feeling the effect of what COVID-19 did, and people are still trying to recover, businesses are trying to recover, families trying to recover. I think it's only logical that women receive more aid. Yes, because they play a great role in families, they play a great role in the society, and they are most times more affected with issues like this. But beyond all of this, I also think that women also contribute immensely to national development, and they have a large population which no responsible government should actually ignore. They have a large population, and I think no responsible government should ignore them. This is not something that a responsible government should joke with. They should be very deliberate about empowering women, about giving them more aids. And I classify these aids into three categories. Women need economic aid. Yes, they need economic aid. And these economic aids could be in form of grants to help businesses, agro grants and all of that to help their business, to help them in agriculture, to help their families and all of that also. They contribute a lot.
Thank you so much all for your opinions. Alois, wrapping up, anything you have on resolutions as Fathers Against Abuse?
One of our main resolutions in terms of making the life of women, boys, girls and men better in Africa is to ensure that we address the underlying causes of gender-based violence. And in 2022, what we're going basically to do is to holistically raise awareness on gender-based violence, targeting the young men and also the boys, but also not leaving women behind. So our primary target group are men and boys, and what we are basically going to do is start setting up some hubs, some anti-GBV hubs across the country. We are going to start piloting with a few areas, and when we evaluate and measure success, that will then determine whether we upscale or replicate other areas. But we've already identified some men within some districts who we are going to be working with to set up some far and GB hubs within community, wherein men will be meeting to discuss issues around gender-based violence and also to be empowered with knowledge on how they should on the negative effects of gender-based violence. So that's basically what I'm going to be doing.
Well done, and thank you for that. And we've come to the end of our show, Africa Gender Indaba, but we only just started a new year, building it up fast, brave, determined, with diligence and vigilance. You heard it, that's what they'll be doing this year. Let's hear what you're going to be doing this year at Channel Africa One, our Facebook Channel Africa, and our website www.channelafrica.co.za. Send us a text or call us on +27 685 27 10. On Facebook and LinkedIn, I'm Derek Mazarula. Join us again next week, same time on Africa Gender, and I'll make sure not to miss out on our lined up episodes for this year, talking about issues that affect you and I and our loved ones, right here on Channel Africa, the African perspective, as we continue to spread the voice of love, respect and friendship. My name is Derek Mazarura, and it's bye for now.